Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, friends. Jason Mackey with us until the end of the show today. Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. And right now we are joined by one of our favorite people in the entirety of Pittsburgh media. He is Steelers beat writer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Ray Fittipaldo. And he is brought to you by the Western PA injury attorneys, Larry Kelly and Joe George from LGKG, your home team. Ray Fittipaldo, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Morning, Ray.
Mackey, you won the rock, paper, scissors match that we had during our most recent segment, so you can go ahead and you can ask Ray the first question.
All right. We were talking about Caleb Johnson, Ray, and we actually had a rock, paper, scissors match to see who would get to ask you this question. But so where do they go from here on kickoffs? Who returns kicks in his stead?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren. You know, I think you guys noticed that the opposing teams, the Jets, and then the Seahawks were kicking at Johnson and forcing him to return. I think with Gainwell and Warren, you have two viable options. So, therefore, the kick return team should be better. I think the bigger question, Jason, is he's a third-round pick. You don't want to totally, like, flush his rookie season down the toilet because of one mistake. And, you know, I said this yesterday. I think there's a role for him on the offense when he recovers from this. They need a guy who can run near the goal line. They can't do that with Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell. So maybe, you know, once he gets over this, he can, you know, be a hammer, you know, down near the goal line for them. But, yeah, right for right now, he's a guy who's got to sit the bench for a little bit before he gets back on the field.
Ray, you say they wouldn't want to flush a third-round pick's rookie season down the tubes. That's exactly what they did with Roman Wilson last year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Roman had an injury, and I know he was over that injury probably by November, December. They didn't bring him back because
moving train, like things of that nature.
Yeah, they felt like they had better options at that point. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from here. But, yeah, I think at some point you got to give Caleb Johnson a chance to get back and make an impact. But I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
I actually like that idea, Ray. I didn't think of that, down by the goal line. You mentioned on our podcast yesterday about using him in a short yardage capacity, but yeah, I mean, the more I think about that, the more it's going to force him to run straight ahead. Don't think, meet, just throw. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I want to see him run more aggressively. Maybe that does it. I guess it makes me a little bit worried that he's young and in such a key situation, but give him reps at some point, man. Do you think he gets a hat on Sunday?
Well, they do have a lot of injuries, Jason, so just he might get a hat just because they have so many other guys down. But
yeah.
if they were healthier, I don't think he would get a hat. And the reason I bring that up about goal-to-go situations, the offensive line just isn't moving people right now, and sometimes you need a bigger back to move the pile, to get a yard, to get into the end zone. So that's why I think he might be effective in that role.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Who do you think returns kicks, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be Gainwell
and Warren.
Yeah, Gainwell
and attention?
Warren.
I was looking at a sponsor, Ray. That's my bad. Thank God Jason's here. I mean, if I was just doing the show today, I'd be asking you the same questions on repeat over and over and over again.
Hey, Ray, who do you think's going to return kicks?
Yeah, Ray.
He was so mad he didn't get to ask.
What do you think about Gainwell and Warren returning kicks, Raymond?
Let's just put Najee Davenport back there and let's call it a day.
Ray, there's a ton of big issues with this team, and we'll get into the defense. But I have been kind of shocked at the lack of usage for Jonnu Smith. I know he had, quote unquote, five catches in game one, but it went for 15 yards. When will we see these tight ends utilized the way that we kind of all thought the tight ends would be utilized?
Well, I mean, you do have a point, but I will point out that Freiermuth, he dropped Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't have five better passes in his career. And, Pat just dropped that ball. So if he catches that ball, we're probably not talking about tight end production. But, when you want to talk about Jonnu Smith, I don't think he's going to be a guy who's used down the field a lot. I think the way they're using him now, catch and run near the line of scrimmage, that's probably where you're going to see him most. I think Freiermuth is your guy who's going to get down the field, stretch the defense, hit him up the hashes. But, I think Jonnu Smith is probably going to have to make do with what he's getting near the line of scrimmage.
Ray, I was thinking about this after we talked on our podcast yesterday, and I know this is one of those where it's probably all of the above, but we're in talking specifically about their defense, the issues, are they more communication-based, scheme-based, or personnel-based? Like, if you had to pick one of those buckets, which one would it be?
And I can't.
I know, it's all
three,
of the
right?
above. I know.
I know. Let's talk about the communication, because to me, that's a coaching issue. It goes back to late last season. They weren't getting lined up right. It looked bad against Kansas City. It looked bad against the Ravens in the playoff game. When you can't get lined up right, I don't care who's out there for you. And they have some major issues at nose tackle. They got major issues at inside linebacker, I think. But if you can't get lined up right, none of those guys are going to have a chance. So to me, we asked Mike Tomlin this last year. I think it was in December, probably around the Kansas City game. Do you dumb it down? Do you just get simpler and don't, so communication isn't an issue? Maybe you got to play more vanilla, but at least you're getting lined up right. And Mike's answer, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, was, no, we're not going to play vanilla. These guys have to get the communication down so we can be an effective defense. So we're probably at that same point. I know these guys didn't play together a lot during the preseason, but they better play catch up soon, because New England's coming off a win. It's on the road, and if you get to 1-2 with the back half of the schedule the way it is, it's going to be an uphill climb for the Steelers to make the playoffs.
You are correct about that. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. I was listening to your guys' podcast from Tuesday, and you talked about communication, you talked about personnel, you talked about schematics on defense. Which bucket do you think has been the one that they've struggled in the most, Ray?
Come on. I thought you were serious for a second. I was like, oh, he listened to our podcast. That's awesome.
I actually did listen to the podcast. I was just making fun of myself there. Ray, do you think Tomlin erred in not playing these guys on defense more in the preseason? I can't believe that you've got all these veterans and you're 2 weeks into this thing, and you had some of those veterans come out after week one and say, oh, we're going to fix it in record time. And now all it is, oh, we couldn't communicate. Okay, then why didn't you play more in the preseason then?
Yeah, I mean, like, the point that the Steelers would probably bring up is, we played Derek Harmon. Look what happened to Derek Harmon. So that's always the catch-22, right? You want to get your guys out there, get them acclimated to what's going on, but injuries are always a concern. So to me, yeah, they probably should have played more, but I think a lot of it is just coaching too. Like, the Jets and the Seahawks scored on the exact same play. Deep crossers down the middle. Mm-hmm. To me, you got to be able to clean that up from week to week. And I don't care what the communication is in the back end. I don't care. Like Mike was talking yesterday about, four new guys were back there on Sunday after all the injuries. Like, I get it to a certain extent, but these guys are pros. A lot of these guys have been around for a long time. So to me, they just got to find a way to clean that up. And like I said, clean it up quick.
Ray, another question, sort of like picking a bucket, but some injuries this Sunday. No Derek Harmon, Isaiah Loudermilk, Alex Highsmith, Deshaun Elliott. I think Joey Porter Jr., probably unlikely. Of those, who do you think has the most – whose absence, I would say, do you think has the most impact on the defense?
Yeah. You know, I would probably say Elliott. I mean, let's just put it in the secondary. Elliott and Porter, I think last week you saw how guys were running wide open. And I think they missed Joey Porter and they missed Deshaun Elliott. Listen, all the injuries count. I do think they're better equipped to handle an injury at outside linebacker with Nick Herbig. And, you know, Jack Sawyer is on the come a little bit. So I think that's going to be in their favor. But got two of your four starters down in the secondary. Sam Darnold just lit you up. Drake May is an up-and-coming quarterback. So I'm a little concerned about that matchup on Sunday.
Ray, what do they fix first, the pass blocking or the run blocking?
Well, you better fix the pass blocking first. And I know that's kind of backwards the way, you know, football should be. But they're on pace to give up 60 sacks, Adam. So Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be out there for 17 games if he continues to get hit the way he's been hit in the first 2 weeks. So that's the main issue right now. And I think, you know, it's probably Faletano and Jones who are getting beat the most. So they have to get better. But the run blocking is a huge issue, too. And I think it's probably time to start talking about this soon, is just you invest all these resources into the offensive line. You believe in these guys when they're drafted. And it wasn't all that long ago. Jones is in his third year, Faletano, Frazier, McCormick, year two. These guys should be developing faster. So were they bad misses by the personnel department, or are they not being properly developed by the coaching staff? And I think, you know, that's a chicken and an egg type of thing. We're probably not going to ever know that answer, but it's a question that lingers.
Raymond, we appreciate your time as always. I think the biggest piece of information that we gleaned from this interview is that Jack Sawyer is on the come. So thank you for that, Ray.
Thank you, Adam.
That is Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider of
Ray.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You laughed, too. It's not just immature Crowley.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You texted me about it. You can stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 2 matchup between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. A lot to react to from what Ray said in this segment. We will do that coming up next. I want to nail down a little bit more on TJ Watt's disappointing first two games. At
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 8:22, time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. So Ray Fittipaldo, you won the rock, paper, scissors. You asked him about kickoff returners, said Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell. I don't mind that. I think it's a it's a massively important play anymore. It is. And there's this statistic that I'm stealing from my friend Brad Howe, who's like big into stats and stuff in West Virginia. That, and this is true in college, I'm not sure if it's the same statistic in the pro, but it would make some sense to me. If you win the field position battle by 10 plus yards, you win 92% of your games.
Really?
92%.
Wow.
That's in college. It might not be as high in the pros, but it makes a ton of sense. And now kickoffs are big again, man. And I have not been upset whatsoever with the ball placement from Chris Boswell as we break down special teams, chapter and verse here. I think he's done a pretty good job. I don't think the kickoff coverage has necessarily been wonderful. And then on the flip side, they haven't been getting the explosive returns. And I think we saw Jaylen Warren exactly how explosive he could be last week. I want him more involved in the offense overall.
Oh, same, man.
Jaylen
same.
Warren.
I don't get it. I don't get the usage.
We saw more last week, but the first week he played fewer snaps than Gainwell.
I know. Maybe they're trying to put something on tape to make other teams think. I think Kabali was on here talking about that. But I don't understand not using Jaylen Warren, and I don't understand extending Jaylen Warren and allocating the kind of money that you are toward Jaylen Warren if you're not going to take advantage of that. And I mean doing it in the passing game, but doing it on early downs too. Like at this point, I'm going to feed him the ball as much as I possibly can, try to establish the run and take advantage of what he does well.
Yeah, and you want to see if he's game for it. Can he be a guy who shoulders the load? And that doesn't mean as Caleb Johnson comes along, because he's a third-round pick, that you can't do a 60-40, a 50-50, just see how it goes, and maybe less is more for these guys. But I'd like to see – he was your most dynamic playmaker on Sunday, and it wasn't even close. So let's see more of this guy early, often, and get him in space in the passing game like they did on Sunday, because that part worked.
Yeah, I think we know the answer to the question, though, Adam. I mean, the offensive line just hasn't been good enough to make that a worthwhile endeavor, right? Like week one against the Jets, they're not running the ball well. I actually don't have a problem with the Steelers abandoning the run the way they did. I was kind of glad that they did. Instead of banging their heads against the wall, throw it a little bit more, trust Aaron Rodgers. I'm fine with that. But over time, this offensive line has to perform better to give them something in the running game. And those carries have to go to Jaylen Warren. I think first and foremost, I'd be fine with him touching it 20 times a game.
Yes.
I don't understand, like, having to get Kenneth Gainwell involved. You don't owe him anything. You're paying Jaylen Warren. He's going to be here for several years. Like, you're saying with your, you know, I don't know, pocketbook or accounting spreadsheet or whatever it is, that this guy is an important part of your offense. And then once you get on the field, you're not using him as an important part of the offense, and I don't understand that.
I don't really understand it either, unless it would be Caleb Johnson who was cutting into those reps.
Yeah, and he ain't.
And he ain't, because he doesn't deserve it. And I'm not suggesting that he does deserve it, but at least there'd be some method to that madness. We drafted a guy in the third round that we think is a really good fit for the scheme, and so we're going to get him some touches by way of also protecting Jaylen Warren. And they haven't even done that. Now, Jaylen Warren, he has a higher yards per carry average than the other running backs do. And that's not saying much, because it's only 3.4 yards per carry. I think, like your point, what you're saying is that it's more a function of the offensive line. But he's still their most productive running back. Get him the ball in space early.
Yep. Short passing game. Take advantage of what he does well. It doesn't have to be a between the tackles run.
No, and you can wear down a secondary by getting at that guy on the perimeter, because he's going to bust some skulls on his way down the field. We saw that on Sunday. I did want to flip the conversation to TJ Watt a little bit too, because you and I were texting a little bit, and I'm a terrible responder to texts. We were texting a little bit last night about some things to go over for the show today. And so I think you and I are seeing the same thing. The number of people that are talking about TJ Watt's impact on the game, despite the fact that he doesn't have the sack production, when we have all, and by we, I mean Steelers Nation, for years, have been arguing about how impactful TJ Watt has been because he gets the quarterback on the ground, and why Myles Garrett, even though he's got great sack numbers, he gets propped up on this pedestal because of his impact away from the play. And so many people here have fallen on the sword defending TJ Watt, and now we're going to flip it to pass rush win rate. And wow, look, they're running away from TJ. And oh boy, he gets triple teamed all the time. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to hear it. You're making $41.5 million a year. You need to get the quarterback on the ground.
Yes, you do. It's an empty stat. Like, that goes across sports, Adam. You can think about Eric Carlson. I can cite, you know, his Corsi or puck possession or expected goals for percentage or something like that. Do you care? Mm-mm. Do you care if the puck is in the back of the net consistently when he's on the ice? It doesn't matter. You know, these are numbers. We can twist them and take them to mean anything we want. If the defense is not dynamic, if they're not stopping the run, if they're not putting the quarterback on the ground, if they're not putting teams in third and long, second and long situations, that's going to fall somewhere. And it's naturally going to fall on the highest paid player on the defense that you expect to perform like a star. You're paying him like a star. And I was sort of against the contract. I also sort of understood what they were doing. I liked that they didn't extend to like 4 or 5 years. I thought it was a logical length of the contract. That's
middle
why I
ground.
Was kinda,
I thought the
yeah,
same thing.
I was good with it. But at the same time, what they're paying him, it is okay to expect premium production because you're paying him premium salary. And yeah, I agree with you, Steelers fans. And I don't think this is a common thing. Like, I don't think Steelers fans are out there like making excuses readily for TJ Watt. But I think there is a portion of the fan base that is like, okay, he's getting double teamed, triple teamed. It's not TJ's fault. Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but the end goal is to get the quarterback on the ground. The end goal is to stop the run. I don't care about some fictitious statistic or Pro Football Focus grade or whatever. If you're not doing the ultimate thing that you are paid to do and the defense is struggling, you're going to point fingers and you're going to start with the highest paid player on that defense, the second highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, right. And if you're making non-quarterback, if you're making quarterback money, I should say, then like things like playoff wins and losses, they go on his ledger far as
yeah.
I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you are the quarterback of this team in the salary structure. And if they don't make the playoffs because this guy isn't sacking a quarterback and he's got 7 in his last 16 games, he's the number one player in my mind who has to wear it even above and beyond Aaron Rodgers. We'll take a quick left turn. We got a special guest coming up next. We'll take your calls on TJ Watt. Do you think he's playing well? 412-928-9370. You can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
For you. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. A lot of Steelers fans bending over backwards to defend TJ Watt on the text line at 412-928-9370. Like this text. TJ playing as well as he can. There isn't much he can do when the run defense gives up over 100 yards every game, double, triple team him and run all over them on the opposite side. In order for him to get better, the rest of the defense needs to get better. I do think there's some truth in that. However, how many third and longs did the Seahawks face? I'll answer that question. A lot of them. How many times did TJ Watt wind up getting Sam Darnold on his butt? Zero. Zero where he had the ball in his hands when his butt was on the ground and he was down. He is paid.
Wait, Jack Sawyer sacked him.
Jack Sawyer got him, sure. So did Peyton Wilson. Neither of those guys are TJ Watt.
Okay. Oh, you're saying, okay.
I'm saying the Watt.
I thought you meant the defense.
The defense.
I'll shush now.
The defense hasn't applied enough pressure. And here's a stat I saw from Matt Williamson on Steelers.com today. From snap to throw, their opponents' quarterbacks, the longest snap to throw time in the NFL.
What?
Which last year it was the opposite. The Steelers faced, on average, the quickest snap to throw time in the NFL.
So teams are holding the ball longer against the Steelers than any other team in the NFL.
And the Steelers
and they're still
are
not getting pressure.
Not getting pressure.
Oh, that's infuriating.
That's right. That's right. And that was the whole thing about the construction of this defense. They are blitzing more. They're blitzing 41% of the time this year. That's second most, I believe, in the entirety of the NFL. I'm not going to pretend like I looked after the Monday night games, but it's right up there at the top of the league. And I thought that was going to happen. You've got Ramsey, you've got Slay, you don't have Porter now, but you're going to have Porter. You've got Echols. You feel like you can cover on the back end in a way that you didn't feel like you could cover on the back end last year. And so that should allow you to get more pressure on the quarterback. Why? Because it's going to be a longer snap to throw time, because guys aren't going to be open against Beanie Bishop or Cam Sutton or Dante Jackson right away. So that part of it has come to fruition. Now the $41.5 million edge rusher needs to get there. I gave that stat earlier.
Or somebody else. Again, if he's double and triple team, this is the classic conversation, Adam, where two things can be true. Like, we can expect more out of T.J. Watt. You can also expect more out of the defense writ large. If T.J. Watt's getting double and triple teamed, somebody should have a one-on-one matchup, and they're not winning those.
I like writ large, by the way.
That's a good term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sure is.
It's better than, like, globally speaking. Mm-hmm. I don't like that because you're not speaking about the globe.
Can you answer a question that I probably should have learned in journalism school?
Okay.
I have a big-time journalist across from me right now. When, parenthetically, it says, you're looking behind you.
Yeah, I don't know where you're looking. But,
Joe Rutter from the Trib just walked in the door.
All right.
When parenthetically, it says sick, S-I-C. Mm-hmm. What the hell does that mean?
That means we included the comments, even though they're wrong grammatically, to not obfuscate a meeting. Like, I would use sick. Let's say a professional athlete tweeted something that's, like, misspelled. I don't want to misquote or, like, interpret or change their tweet. I'm just putting it there, and that's for the reader to... You interpret how you wish, but we acknowledge that there's an error here that we're not going to try to correct.
Jason, I've learned something new today.
There you go. Happy to help.
Contextually, you would have figured I'd have been able to pick up on that.
That's all right. That's one of those, like, capital J journalism nerd things.
You big AP style guy?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all are. You have to be.
You big Helvetica font guy?
I am. How'd you know that?
Because you fit that. You just fit that bill. You big Robert Redford guy? The reason I ask is because
the natural, sure.
I was going to say all the president's men.
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, it's my favorite journalism movie of all time.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's a bad show by me. I can't believe you know that I write in Helvetica. I do. I write in every story. I write in Helvetica. Here, you want a journalism nerd?
I do.
Thing? So I write everything in Helvetica, and then to edit, I will blow it up into like 64 font in all kinds of like. Starkey does the same thing. We're the same people. And I'll blow it up into, like, you know, Bradley Hand is one of my favorite. I'm looking at my computer right now to get it in a different text version. And then I'll email it to myself, and then I'll edit on my phone, and then I'll put it in our content management system. And there are ways to manipulate the text there. And so I'll get my eye, like, I'll trick my eyes into seeing things and try to find errors and, like, different ways to edit my columns. So anybody out there that thinks we don't edit stuff, we do. I'm just stupid.
Couple things, and we'll take your T.J. Watt calls, texts, and tweets at 412-928-9370. I'm a nerd for process. I like to hear anybody's process in whatever walk of life that they have.
Yeah.
You had me on your podcast.
I did.
Not too terribly long ago, and you were asking me about my process. So I'm always fascinated by process. Here's something that I've never admitted, I don't think. I never had rough drafts. Like papers I wrote, I would just write the paper and turn it in.
Really?
Never edited it. Never went back to change things. There was no rough draft. There was just, I'm done. This is it.
Mm-hmm. And you actually did pretty well in school, right?
In college, I did well, yeah.
You didn't do well in high school? I thought you did.
No, big slacker.
Oh, okay.
Big procrastinator.
Big coxswain.
Big coxswain. Thank you, Harry. I appreciate that addition. Did you say that on the air, or was that just for my ears?
I said that on the air.
Okay, very good.
And I said that on the air, too.
Thank you. Mark Caboli is brought to you by Icy Light. We don't have him on the show today, but that's on the sheet. And so I don't get yelled at by our sales overlords, I would like people to know that Caboli is brought to you by Icy Light. Your calls, texts, tweets on T.J. Watt when we come back. Also, we'll go a little bit around the NFL, some of the bigger storylines I want to bounce off of Jason. And then Doug Whaley from 9 o'clock until 10. The 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. That music means it's time to go around the NFL. Jason Mackey with us all morning long. Kind enough to be filling in for Doran Dickerson today. We've got our guy Doug Whaley joining us from 9 o'clock until 10, a Wednesday with Doug Whaley. I don't know if you saw this, Jason. I'm not going to give my opinion first. Bill Cowher, totally out on the tush push. The Philadelphia Eagles ran the tush push 13% of their offensive plays against the Kansas City Chiefs. Where does Jason Mackey come down on pushing the tush?
Out. No more pushing of the tush, Adam. I want to watch football. I don't want to watch a rugby scrum. I'm probably an old man yelling at clouds with that. I don't like it.
Am I allowed to be the guy that his brain explodes over this thing?
What do you mean?
Because on one hand, competitively, it drives me bonkers that people bitch, moan, and complain about it when they can't stop it or do it themselves. And so try to emulate it, A, and then B, find a way to defend the play. On the opposite side of the spectrum, though, is where I agree with you. It's not an interesting play to watch. I think it's an incredibly difficult play to officiate, and it's just not aesthetically pleasing. So one side of me is like, find a way to stop it before you eliminate the thing. But the other side of me is like, I don't enjoy watching that element of the game of football.
I mean, look, you can accomplish a lot in football if you throw select rules out the window. We can talk about crackback blocks or cut blocks or whatever. Hey, we can ignore holds, and all of a sudden quarterbacks are going to have a lot more time to throw. But the fact is, like, you have certain parameters built in the game, so it looks a certain way, so it's a more accurate judge on ability and competition and can you block the guy in front of you versus whether you can scheme the system in order to get a yard. And that's what they're doing. They're scheming the system to get a yard because there are no parameters put in place. And it results in something that, frankly, isn't that aesthetically pleasing to watch. Like, yes, the Eagles have mastered a concept on that they're going to be successful more often than not. But if you're conscious of this being an entertainment product, which it is, I'm sorry, it's not that entertaining.
It really is not. The only way you could spin it towards being entertaining is it leads to more possession for the Eagles, thus more offense. But more often than not, it's around the goal line, and so it actually doesn't. All right, one more big-time NFL storyline. The NFL has come out and said there's no conflict of interest. They found no wrongdoing in Tom Brady being in the Las Vegas Raiders coaching booth wearing a headset, despite this guy being in production meetings and being a color commentary guy for Fox. Your opinion on that, Mr. Mackey?
Either or. Pick a door, Mr. Brady. You cannot have them both just because you're Tom Brady. Guarantee the NFL would not allow that if he was not Tom Brady. You're either an owner of a team or you're a broadcaster. You are not both.
He's
I don't
the
like
only
it. It makes
guy
me
they
icky.
Let it happen with.
No, I know. Because they want the popularity. Because, hey, if you want to cross that with the tush push argument, like because you view this as an entertainment vehicle, you're not going to shut down Tom Brady.
I don't like the guy.
Brady?
Yeah, which also adds to it. I think he's
What does that have to do with anything?
It's how I frame a lot of the things.
I mean, I don't like him either. I don't disagree with you, but I'm just saying that, like, I don't care if he's an owner, I don't care if he's a broadcaster. He can do as he wants. I just don't think they should be allowed to coexist.
Well, agreed. And here's
clear conflict of interest.
Here's another angle. Mr. Davis, Mark Davis out there. If Tom Brady is not If Tom Brady's invested in both of these things, then he can't be his absolute best at both of those things.
Right.
Because he's not good on Fox.
No. And Brady is interested in Tom Brady.
I saw Tom Brady do a documentary with, what's his face? Charles Woodson about the tuck rule. And Tom was outstanding in that. He's talking junk. He's being himself. He's dropping all kinds of nuggets of football knowledge. I haven't found him that interesting on Fox. Why? Because he can't be as prepared as other broadcasters are because he doesn't get the same access. And his mind is occupied by other things. So I'm with you. Pick a lane. Last question for you. Do the Steelers go 2-0 against the Cincinnati Bengals without Joe Burrow?
No, I don't think they do. I want to think that they will. I think Jake Browning's going to play better than we all expect. He's been in that system for a number of years. He's certainly not going to be Joe Burrow. But, I mean, you've still got the wide receiver talent. Of the questions that I have about the Bengals, they're mostly defensive. I don't worry about what's happening on the offense. But I still think the Steelers split. Maybe they – I don't know. I could see them maybe winning there. They always seem to play fairly well there and then tripping up at home. But I think they split.
Mackey, it's a Thursday night in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Maybe a loss there and maybe a win back. Thursday night games on the road against the AFC North. That is not a good recipe under Mike Tomlin.
No, it absolutely is not, which is why one of our big topics on yesterday's show was, hey, you got Drake May and Carson Wentz and Jake Browning and Flacco or Gabriel or Sanders coming up in your next four games. You'd love to say, oh, the Steelers have the defense to be able to make hay with that. I don't know that I'm seeing that right now. That's around the NFL. We've got Doug Whaley for a full hour coming up next. Fan weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Should be a nice one out today. High of 77 degrees, not too hot. Low of 59, partly cloudy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.